Great. So we are in our special lesson today. And why is it so special today? Because its topic is Purim. Purim according to the wisdom of Kabbalah. Purim, what kind of holiday is this? What kind of celebration? Yes, it's a happy holiday. Okay, and why are we happy in Purim? Yes? The girl beside you, take a look at who's sitting beside you. No? Okay, then at the back. Purim symbolizes Gemar Tikkun, the final correction. Excellent. That's right. And this is why it is the most important holiday. Why? More. Because Purim represents the final correction, and the other holidays represent other things. What do you mean by that? For example, Hanukkah represents the qualities, the vessels of bestowal, and it's in the middle of our path. And Purim is the most important holiday because it is the end. Great. It is the highest state in spirituality. Okay? And what is the symbol of Purim? Happiness. To what extent? To an extent of, yes, of infinity. And what is it called in Purim? Until he does not know Mordechai from Haman from such great happiness. Okay, and what does it mean? That one cannot distinguish between Mordechai and Haman. Okay, but what does it mean? Someone at the back. That there are two states, Haman and Mordechai. And when you pass through these two states, you reach the final corrections. Okay, but what are these two states? They are... Yes, is there anyone there that wants to say something? It represents the final correction of all the desires. Okay, but what about these two states? Do they just disappear? They turn into one. They become equal. Excellent. They connect. That's right. So the good and the evil connect together into great happiness. The light and the darkness become one. And this is why all the bad that's in the world, all the ego and everything that's good that's in the world, they connect together. How can they connect the darkness and the light together? How? Our ego with the light. How can the two connect together? Yes. If we use our ego for a good cause, excellent. So if we change the way we use our desire for our own benefit into bestowal, into giving to others, then our clear vessels, our desires act like the light, and the darkness becomes like the light. Excellent. And then we come to a state where Haman, evil Haman, and saint, the Mordechai, the saint, become as one. And we see that this is the way it was from the very beginning. But let's go to the story. How do we come to this? What does the story of Purim start with? Yes, Yechi? That Achashverosh, the king, has a feast and gets rid of Vashti. Who is Achashverosh? He's the king. And what does he represent to us, this king? He represents Malchut. Okay, and you? It feels, it represents the feeling people, feeling humans. Okay, and at the back, the ego. Okay, yes, the ego as well. What else? The girls? The feeling of a person, when a person feels the creator is the negative force. Okay, that's Achashverosh. And who is beside Achashverosh on his side? Yes, more kids? Vashti. Who is Vashti? Come on, the boys know. Yes. Come on, say it. Vashti is the wife of Achashverosh, and she is the queen. Is she a good or bad, good or evil. There's a small boy over there. Pass the microphone to him. She is good. And who thinks otherwise? So maybe at the back. Come on. Keep on passing the microphone. Take it. She represents an evil character because she represents a previous step, and that's why she is in the beginning of the story of the scroll. So we are essentially talking about two forces that are within a person, a good and evil force, and we're talking about how these two forces are working together, and a person clarifies between these forces. How do I advance towards the goal? So we have the goal. What is the goal? The final correction. Can you see it on the screens? Can you see what I'm writing? Okay, what is the purpose? The goal. It's called Gmar Tikkun, the final correction. Gmar HaTikkun. Great, excellent. What is this Gmar Tikkun? It means that everything is good. What does that mean? That everything is for bestowing, for bestowal. There is no ego. And we are over here in a state. This is how we are. What did I draw over here? What is this? It's playground. It's like it's a swing. It's a swing. There is the evil inclination and the good inclination. And we have to choose which one we want. How do we advance? How do I climb to a higher step to advance towards the goal? I take something from the evil inclination, the evil side, and I correct it using my good side. And that way I climb to a higher level. Yes? And this is why we have every moment and moment we have new conditions and things that are pushing us and we want and we don't want to do things. And we, if we organize these in accordance with everything that's burning within me, everything, all the ego, then it's called, it means that I climbed a step. And then again, I take something from my evil inclination, and I take something from the good side, and I correct it, and this is how I reach the goal. And how many steps like that do I have? 125. That's right. And can all of you say which step are you on, which level? No, but don't worry. Soon you'll feel that you are rising, just like in an elevator. One, two, three, just like going up floors. Okay, so what we have to see in all of this story is the evil force, the negative force, and the positive force. Yes? Great. So, Vashti, we're saying that in the meantime, right now, it is the evil force. Okay, what? Who else is on the evil side? Scream it out. Amman, Zeresh, the 10 sons of Amman, and Ahasuerus, because he is with Amman. And who else? And Amman's advisors, how many advisors did we have? 613. How much is that? We have in Hebrew, Shin Samech Hey, 365, sorry, not 613, 365 advisors. What does that mean? It is our desire to receive. And how many desires to bestow, to give, does one have? Yes? Tariyak 613 is all together, but how many desires to bestow do we have? Ramach, 248. Right? It is the desire to bestow. And all together, what's the number? It is Tariag, 613 in Hebrew. Excellent. So, essentially, we're correcting ourselves. Purim explains to us how do we correct all of our desires from evil desires to good desires. And when we are done with this, it's called Gemar Tikkun. It's called Purim, final correction, when everything becomes good. Okay? And why is it called the Megillat Esther, the scroll of Esther? Yes, please. Because you come from Gilui to Esther. You come from a concealment to revelation. Is there another definition? Yes, at the back. Go ahead. Because we are revealing the concealment. Excellent. What are we revealing? Do you know what we reveal? Yes, someone new maybe? No. Okay. We reveal the quality of bestowal. We reveal the good force of bestowal. Is that what we're revealing? Yes, that's true. But what else? At the back there. And pass the microphone to the girl as well in the middle. Yeah. Everyone who is asking, everyone who wants a microphone should put his hand up. We are revealing the higher spiritual steps that we didn't know, that we didn't see before that. That's right, we revealed the steps, but what else? The Creator, excellent. There's nothing else to say. She answered correctly. Who is the concealed? The Creator is concealed, and this is why the scroll of Esther, we are revealing the Creator. But why is it called Megillat Esther? Why is it called the concealment, the scroll of Esther? What, is Esther concealed? Who is Esther? Come on, put your hand up. Esther is the one that connects between the concealed and the revealed. That's true as well. More at the back and over here. You want to say something? Go ahead. Esther is the force to bestow. Okay, Baruch. Esther is the connection between the ego and the Creator, the King. That's true as well. Esther's name in Hebrew is concealment, but it doesn't matter. What do you want to say with that? What are you trying to say? That we are revealing the concealment with Esther's help. Esther is a new step. That's right as well. But why is it called the scroll of Esther? It is the concealment of revelation. What? It contradicts itself. She also represents the force of bestowal. Okay, so now, who is Esther? Who does she belong to? Esther is also the wife of Ahasuerus, or no? Yes. How many wives did Ahasuerus have? Two. Okay. Fine. And what happened with Vashti? Oh. During the feast when that they had, Ahasuerus got drunk and asked for Vashti to come out so everyone can see her beauty, but she didn't listen to her. She didn't listen to him, so he killed her. Okay, you want to add something? There's another reason, is that she had a horn that grew in her head. Oh, wow, these are very concealed things. It's very difficult to explain them. She was shy. She didn't want to come because she didn't have enough clothes on. What do you mean? What is clothing? Do we know what that means? Do you know? It is one. This is one of the external parts of a person That's right, but what does it mean? Clothing, it looks like a form of bestowal, but in our world right now, we are all naked. I simply see you wearing clothing, and a person who is who has clothes resembles the quality of bestowal. Okay, that's right. So she didn't have clothes and that's why she was shy. She didn't want to come out. She didn't have the qualities of bestowal. And what about Mordechai? Where is he? How is he revealed to us? What's happening to him in the beginning? It says that Mordechai was sitting in the gate of the king. What does that mean? What's the gate of the king? What is this? This is the gate of the city or the gate of the palace? What are we talking about? What was the name of the city? The country was called Paras, Persia, and the city was called Shushan. So Mordechai was sitting at the gate, the gateway of the city. What is he doing there? What does it mean to be sitting at the gate of the city? What is a gate? I think that it means that he was in exile. Okay, galut, exile in Hebrew. Keep on passing the microphone. It is the machsom, the barrier. Yes, maybe that's true as well. What about over here? A boy, a new boy at the back. Maybe it's a border. Okay, that's right as well. Mordechai was sitting. He's sitting and doesn't know what to do. Why is he sitting just like this? What does it mean that he is sitting? He's just this poor guy. He's sitting like no one cares about him. He's sitting at the gate. Why? The meaning of Mordechai is that he is the internality. Can you add something? Or maybe the girls know? Maybe he is shy? Okay. And then what happens is that suddenly he's being called. How is he being revealed in front of the king? What happens there with the king? Yes. You. The king calls Mordechai because he heard that his two advisors tried to take over the kingdom and to be the kings. Okay, so there is someone who tries to overtake the king. What were their names? Teresh. Cham and Teresh. Cham and Teresh. Okay, so their ego wanted to control all of the kingdom. Their hand wanted to catch. Hand meaning receiving. And who found out about this? Altogether, Mordechai. And then what happened? What did Mordechai do? How did he come to the king? He is far away from the king. He is at the gate of the city, and the king is in the castle. No one's going to let him in. And then, do we have anyone new who wants to answer? No? Okay, you say it. Yes? Mordechai told Esther, and Esther told to the concealed, which is Ahasuerus. Okay. And how did Esther come to Ahasuerus? Who knows? Yes, Magin? She was his wife, no? Yes, but how did he reach him? What? Any woman can come talk to the king. Come on, girls. She was very graceful, and she looked very beautifully. Okay. And how did she come close to the king? What did he give her? He passed something to her. What did he pass to her? He passed a toy to her. A whistle to her. Okay, and what did he say to her? He said that he's going to remember this forever to Mordechai, and that he is going to give a present to Mordechai for telling him about this. Okay, excellent. But what did the king tell Esther? he said, ask for half of the kingdom. Okay, so the king is starting to understand that using Esther with her help, with the concealment, he can come to a state of completeness. Half a kingdom, half a malchut means that the king is being revealed and he can come to reach the light. So through Esther, who is the queen, but she is the queen, malchut, but she is concealed and we have to reveal her. Okay, excellent. And what happens later? So the king knows what's happening. And what happened to those two evil advisors? They hung them up. What does that mean to hang someone? Hang someone on a tree? What is this tree called? The tree of life. If we hang our desire to receive, who wants to kill the king? And who is the king? The king is the creator. Yes, so if we hang our desire to receive, who wants to kill the king, who says, I don't want the desire, I don't want the creator, then we advance. And then we are holding on to the tree of life, and Esther is revealed to us, and the king is ready to connect to Esther, and Mordechai there is being written in the memory book of the king, and then what happens? Excellent! So we have to do something more. Why? Why do we have to do something else? Because to reach the final correction, the Gemar Tikkun, what do we have to do? We need this huge ego, because only through the correction of our ego we climb on top of the mountain and we reach the king, the creator. So where do we take this ego? Who is Mordechai? What kind of a quality is this? You? Yechi? He is the quality of bestowal. And is there an ego in bestowal, in giving? Yes. No. So yes or no? Yes. Okay, who thinks that there is ego in bestowal? And who is against it? That there is no ego in bestowal. Oh, no. Okay. Can you explain why? Give her the microphone. She's right, you know. Yes. Because the meaning of Mordechai is clean and thin. And why is he called Mordechai? In Hebrew, it's clean. A clean and thin desire. And that means that he doesn't have a force, the strength. And that's why he is sitting at the gate. He can't do anything. He can only work in bestowal only if he connects to this big desire, this big ego. That is the quality of Bina, because she can't do anything unless she unites, connects to the quality of Malchut, and that's why Mordechai can't do anything unless the ego is revealed. And now, after Mordechai has been written in the book of memories, and Vashti leaves the stage, and the queen of Esther, the queen, comes to the stage now, and the king now is willing to work with them. And so now what are we missing? The ego to be revealed. And how does it become revealed? Through Haman. And what does Haman symbolize to us? Yes? Someone new, maybe? A boy? Take the microphone. You're new here. He is a negative force. Excellent. What's your name? David, excellent. It's a negative force. And now we need this negative force. You see, we wrote this down here. We need the negative force, and then we need the positive force. So what should I call the positive force? This good inclination is going to be called Mordechai, and this evil inclination is going to be called Aman, evil Aman. And So what's next? So a man is being revealed. How is he being revealed? He comes to the king, and what does he tell the king? He says, listen, there are Jews, and see, he's directed towards Mordechai. He says, they are not okay. And it always starts like this. In every generation, there are those that come against us to free us, to liberate us. Okay, so what happens next? A man tells the king that there is some weird guy there and is not, who is not ready to do what he wants to do, and he doesn't listen to us. And Achashverosh, the king asks, who are those? And a man says that they are the Jews. So a man does a fortune, a lottery, and wants to kill the Jews, and the king agrees with him. How can it be? Why did he agree to this? We say that behind the king we have the creator who is hiding there, that he symbolizes the creator. How can he do this? Yes. Now the negative, the evil ego is being revealed, that we have to discover all the evil in the world, because without it we cannot advance to the degree of the king. So now we have to grow a man. What does it say in the text? It says that after these things, the king increased, made a man stronger. After all the good things that Mordechai did for the king, he showed the king that there are those evil guys that want to kill him, and that he has to get rid of them. And after that, he gives the force, the strength to a man. It always happens with us. We do good things, and then suddenly bad things come our way. Why? Because we have to reveal the ego. We have to advance in this way forward. Right? Today someone came to me. He said, listen, I started studying. I did all these good things and all. That's what he said to me. He said, I come to the airport. I came to have a guest that came to me for the Congress. And on the way, my car broke. And then while my car broke, in the middle of the way, a bike smashed into me. And we're thinking to ourselves, me and this guest are thinking, what's going on? Why is this happening to us? Why did we deserve it? People don't understand that through these things, we reveal the evil that's in us. And then after all of this, they came to the Congress and came to very good clarifications. But look what happened to them on the way. It's an awesome story. He's telling me, listen, we are trying to get to the Congress site from the plane, and this is what happens to us. So this means that after Mordechai grew a little bit, after the king prepared Mordechai, now it is time for growing a man, to reveal a man a little bit. And this is what happens. And then, what did he do? The king gives a man the right to do what? He says, do everything, organize all the evil forces together so that with all these evil forces, we are going to show ourselves, to reveal ourselves against the Jews who are on the other side. And the man gladly does everything. What is he preparing? What does a man prepare? No, come on. Pool, a lot, or lottery. Okay, what will you say? He wants to hang Mordechai. He's preparing a tree to hang Mordechai. No, that's still early. What else? He sends letters to all the rulers in all the countries. How many countries? 127 countries around Persia. From Hod to Kush. Kush is in Africa. You want to add something? Girls, you want to add something? So he sends out letters to all the rulers of countries. And what else? I just wanted to add that by growing but giving force to a man, I'm not really sure if the Creator wanted to grow a man upwards and then give him a horrible punishment. But why? What for? No, he wanted to take all the desires and all the vessels from a man and to correct them. And what did the man do? He rode a horse. He was riding a horse. What does that mean, to ride a horse? Come on. Yes? We reach a step, one level before Malchut. Maybe you at the back, maybe you know. No, Bauch? To ride a horse, or it is to overcome, it is to control our matter. Okay. So what happens then when he is riding a donkey is controlling our matter? Okay, so what's happening? While a man is controlling the horse, what's happening? He's deciding what to do when you reach the level of the Creator. This person has to be able to ride the horse wearing what? Wearing the clothes of the king. And wait, what happened? Did a man do this? No, Mordechai was able to do this. How? Wait, a man wanted to do this. Tell me what happened. A man wanted to reach this level and he only thought about himself, but he didn't know that the king meant for this to happen with Mordechai. And then when he was sleeping and he couldn't sleep, and he was dreaming about something. Okay. You know what? I'm going to ask you differently. Why did a man think that he deserves to ride the horse and be like the king? Oh, so many kids know the answer. Behind you. Because he has an ego. So what? Okay, that's fine. Just add. Keep on adding. The girl in front of you. Because he is the desire to receive, and he thinks only about himself. Okay, more. You know how to answer? He was an egoist. Okay. He thought, who is closer to the king but me? But why did he think that? Because he's egoistic? Because he thinks that he deserves it? At the back. Keep on passing the microphone. The girls at the back. Quickly. Because, first of all, the king gave force to Amman. So Amman thought, oh, look how close I am to the king. But why does Amman think that he deserves to be instead of the king, in the place of the king? Yes. Because he is closer to the king. Because he has the vessels, the kelim, to receive all the malchut. Because Amman is all the vessels of reception, all the force, the quality of desire. And where does the light come into eventually? Into the desire to receive, into the corrected ego, but still into the ego. So all of these vessels that are being revealed on the left side, in Amman, they are kelim, the vessels of reception. Let's write this down. Kelim de Kabbalah. And inside these vessels of reception, the light has to come in and fill them up. And then this is what is Purim, when the light fulfills all the vessels of reception. Okay? And of course, Amman thought, obviously I deserve this. Mordechai doesn't even have any vessels, any kelim. Where? How is he going to receive all of this enormous light that the king wants to give? And this is why he thought, and he thought it rightfully, that I deserve it. And what happened? Why in the end he didn't deserve it and Mordechai did? Yes. Because Mordechai has the kelim d'ashpa, the vessels of bestowal, but Mordechai can't receive anything. He can only give. Amman wants to receive everything, but Amman can't receive anything because he is opposite to the Creator, opposite to the light. But Mordechai, because he is the quality of bestowal, he can't receive anything either. He pushes everything forward. So who will receive both of them together? Only if they're together. What does it say in the task? That the vessels of Aman and Mordechai and the lights of Mordechai and Aman. What happens? Tell me. Okay, let's continue. What happens onward? Mordechai sits on the horse. How does that happen? Yes. Aman falls on his knees and Mordechai climbs on him and then on the horse. Okay, but how did it switch suddenly? Why did the king decide that instead of Aman, Mordechai should come in his place? Yes, Yechi. Because Mordechai saved him from the evil guys from Ketan and Teresh. Okay, anyone wants to add? No. Okay, fine. And then Mordechai sits on the horse. You want to add? At night, when the king couldn't fall asleep and his servants brought him the book of memories that he wrote in, and he remembered that Mordechai did him a favor when he saved him. Okay, wonderful. What about you? People gave him all kinds of books that help, and then they saw what was written in this book of memories, and okay, wonderful. What is this book of memories? We keep on talking about it. Mordechai was written in the book of memories, and the king reads in the book of memories. What does it mean? Yes, over there. This book of memories is a book that the king writes to remember who he has to return something. Okay, keep, pass it on. It is the light. Okay, pass it on. He wrote all the good deeds that people did for him, and he had to return a favor to them. That's true as well, but the book of memories is a book that tells you what actions you should do until you reach a final correction. This book is called the Book of Reshimah. It is the way we advance from this state, our state here, to the step of final correction. We have 125 levels, yes? So all the Reshimot that we have to go through is called the Book of Memories. That's all. You know what Reshimot are, right? Reshimot, reminiscences. It is where we have to go through one step after the other, different states, until we reach the final correction. Okay, so the king is looking in this book, and he hears and remembers what he has to do now. Okay, excellent. So Mordechai replaces Aman and rides the horse. And what happens next? Yes. Yes, you. They hang Aman on the tree of life. No, but how do we reach this state? Aman reads, says something. Okay, more. When Aman didn't just put Mordechai on the horse, he was also walking in front of this horse. That's right. So Aman was walking in front of the horse, and Mordechai was sitting on the horse. And what happened after they passed throughout the entire city? And then they went by Aman's house, and the daughter of Aman threw something at them, water or something like that. Okay, that doesn't say that in the book, in the scroll of Esther, but okay. So how did we come to this situation of hanging Aman and so on? Esther said that there was a feast, okay, meaning that Esther is holding a feast. She's asking the king to hold a big feast. And what then? She says, only me, a man, and you. And then when they have this feast, suddenly she tells the king that a man is the one who is the evil, who wants to kill the Jews, and only then the king commands to hang him on the tree of life. Okay, you want to add something? Esther invited a man and the king, and she was there, and then they came there, and she told Ahasuerus that a man is causing damage to her nation, and then Ahasuerus, the king, is asking a man if it's true, and a man is being shy. Okay, he is shy. Oh no, he is shy. Okay. She invited them the second time to the feast, and then she told the king Ahasuerus that she was Jewish, and then she said that there is someone who wants to call me and who wants to kill me and my nation, and then she told him that it was a man, and then the king heard this, and that's when he hung him on the tree. Okay, add, before Haman heard that Esther invited him and the king to the feast, and then Haman's ego started becoming big. Oh, excellent. So how did Esther carry this out? When she invited the king and Haman for a feast, that's it. Haman thought, awesome, I reached Malchut, and now I'm going to be beside the king and beside the queen, and I am the biggest one. And do you understand? And then he went back home, and he told Zeresh, his wife, she is the biggest evil one, right? Haman, the ego is divided into two parts, male and female. Haman is the male, and Zeresh symbolizes the female. And the female is even worse than the male. No? we're talking about the evil forces. No, not the girls. Do you hear what's happening here? Right away, they're responding. In the evil forces, there the female is worse than the male. But in the good forces, the female is more important and bigger than the male, because all the goodness is received in her. Excellent. And this is why it's good for us to be better, whether you're a female or a male. Okay, so what did Zeresh advise to Haman? Girls, what did Zeresh tell Haman? That he should do what? To hang Haman on the tree. No, not Haman. Esther? No, I'm not talking about Esther. Zeresh. Yes. Zeresh told him to build a big, big tree, and that he should hang Mordechai on the tree. And Esther finally told Ahasuerus that a man wants to kill her nation. Okay, we have to finish this, our lesson. We're going to have one more lesson about Purim. We're going to continue our lesson about Purim. And I want to show you a picture that Nikita, our friend, drew, who is 8 years old from Moscow. Look, this is our unity. And you see how we are advancing more and more, the hearts and the desires, and this is how we connect. And now what are we going to sing? We're going to sing a song. What kind of song? Okay, together.
Come here. לנו שיעור, אצלנו זה שיפור, ללמוד ולפתוח את הלב ואת המוח, שיעור שכולו שמחה.